Have you ever considered starting your own website? If you want a good one, you're going to need a great web host. That's why I recommend Bluehost. And we have an exclusive offer for everyone who listens to the Adventuring the Girl Life podcast. You can get started with Bluehost for $3.95. They have impeccable customer service. They have a one-click automatic WordPress blog installation. You can't get any easier than that. And when you're ready for more than one website, there's no need to look for more hosting. Bluehost has got you covered. That's why I recommend Bluehost. And you can find this deal at www.jenwhitmoretraining.com under the Resources tab, or www.jenwhitmoretraining.com/resources. Welcome to Adventuring the Girl Life, where we believe life for every girl should be well lived. Each week, we'll explore tips and techniques to add more adventure to your world, from fitness and self-care to career building and fulfillment, and even the most mundane parts of life. So buckle up. I'm your host, Jen Whitmore, certified personal trainer, mom of two, lover of brand new ideas, and your new partner in adventure. Hey, hey, girls. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm so excited this week. We have a very special episode. This is our 40th episode, and we have our very first guy on our podcast. I cannot believe it. I'm very excited about it. So this week, we are showcasing Shannon and Devin Youngblood. They are fantastic. They have five kids, a YouTube channel, a podcast. They're a very busy family. So guys, I will not steal any more of your thunder. Go ahead and tell us all about yourselves.
Well, we're the Youngbloods. I'm Shannon. And
I'm Devin.
And as you said, we do have five kids ranging from almost 18 to 8 years old, and they're all sassy.
Oh, yeah, of course.
They take after my wife.
What?
No. We've been doing, I guess, what, podcasting for almost 3 years, I think.
Yeah.
Now. And then, of course, as far as YouTube, oh man, I've been dealing with YouTube for over 10 years, but this
morning. Wow.
Yeah, we've had multiple channels and things like that, but our current channel that we're pushing the most, I mean, it's been going for about 5 years, I think it is.
Maybe.
I can't remember.
Four, at least.
So, but yeah, so it, you know, we just do the family vlogging thing and record and everything that has to be done that we do.
That's awesome. So your podcast and your YouTube channel is literally just about your family. Like, it's just about your life that you live.
Life we live, about stuff we read that we talk about. And like, you know, sometimes I'll come across an article that drives me nuts because, I mean, we talk a lot about parenting on our podcast. And I read articles about some things that some parents do. And I'm like, what? Why?
or he brings up some things. Hey, I found this article from England and we have to talk about it. And I don't even think I could not get through that article without being so frustrated. I couldn't. I said, we have to end the podcast now. I can't talk anymore about this. I am so sorry to everybody who is listening. But if you are just as frustrated as I am, here's the link to the article. I couldn't do it.
Context, that podcast was about a girl in England that her coping mechanism is to become, she's like 20-something years old, she becomes a toddler again, or no, a baby again, and her boyfriend changes her diapers.
Feeds her a bottle. Yes. Oh gosh, I can't.
You're not.
I will send you the link.
Some weird stuff.
Oh, some weird
it would. Yes, I couldn't handle it anymore. I was like, and this is done.
But I mean, I guess the whole premise is, like, we'll talk about stuff like that, but then in the middle of the podcast, like, we'll have it doesn't happen every time, but you know, about 75% of the time, one of our kids walks in and they ask a question, and we don't stop the podcast.
They'll interrupt.
They interrupt the podcast, and we answer their question, and we just continue on. It's like just like normal life. I mean, if everybody's got kids out there that listens to this, they'll understand you're having an adult conversation, and then how many times
yes.
you hear, mom, dad.
And it's pretty much why it's called the Youngblood Life, because what you hear is what you get.
Yeah.
You know, we're not, I mean, in a personal situation that we weren't recording, if we had somebody over and something our kids were actually interrupting, we'd be like, you know, we're talking right now, you can wait a minute. but I don't want to sound so rude on my podcast and be like, excuse me, I am talking and doing a podcast. What do you need? What are you doing?
That's hilarious. So my podcast is completely the opposite. I always record when the kids are at school. And if I'm like in a really desperate situation, then I will be like, okay, everybody's going upstairs. You're turning the TV down. You're closing the doors. You are not bothering me because I have to record this podcast. It's going out on Tuesday and you will be quiet.
So
I'm like, my podcast is just so different. And obviously, you know, we have just different subjects, but I just love that you guys just like let it all hang out like that, because this podcast, you know, we talk about fitness and nutrition and we talk about self-care, but we are adventuring the girl life. And right. So adventuring this life, we are moms and of course dads, but you know, we have so many hats to wear and you guys just let it all hang out. So I love it.
It could be, you know, a kid might come in and ask the most random question and I will find this absolutely hilarious. Like our 8-year-old will just, you know, they have no filter.
Well, not on the filter, but he hears his older siblings talk about things that are, and so he'll ask the question.
And it's so personal, he doesn't realize it.
How do you describe this now?
And we're on a podcast, so everybody who's listening is going to hear this 8-year-old boy ask about this issue. And yeah, you know, just why did I hear somebody say that? Or I'm just like, oh, and go ahead, Dad, you take it from here. You know?
Tell the rest of the world.
Right.
That's awesome. So, oh my gosh. So how did you guys get started like videoing yourselves? And, you know, how did you get started in videoing your family and being okay with all of that out in the world and showing everyone, you know, all the ragged edges?
Well, I think, you know, I grew up in Palm Beach, Florida. And when I moved from Florida, you know, I was living in Georgia where Devin's family is. And then from there, we went to Tennessee. Well, not really everybody got to see each other all the time, especially his parents. So we just started recording and doing YouTube. So his parents or, you know, even his family wanted to see what we were up to, you know, that week or what the kids did or what was awesome and what was going on. So we pretty much did it for family.
And I, you know, what I did when we first started, I mean, we were recording videos and I'd upload them to YouTube because that was easy because everybody has YouTube. They can log in and look at it. And this was like the early days of, I'd say the earlier days of YouTube. And I did all the paperwork, typed in everything, filled everything.
He gets online one night. He's like, oh my gosh, this video has like 900 views and I just posted it. Well, I'm like, what?
And then a few months later, we get this check in the mail. Of course, this is when YouTube actually sent the check. Right. And I'm like, this is a scam. What the heck is this?
Can't cash this. It'll be bad.
Right.
And so it sat on my desk for months. And I'm like, okay, fine. I'll call YouTube. I called YouTube and it took a while because YouTube really doesn't answer phones.
Yeah. It's like Facebook. They don't answer the phone either.
No.
Right, exactly. And so I finally got a hold of somebody and they said, well, let's look it up. And they looked up and said, oh, yeah, that's your pay. I'm like, what do you mean my pay?
You got paid to make videos.
Partnered with us back in such a way. I was like, yeah, that's our when we partnered. And they said, that's what that means. I'm like, I didn't know that. And so I'm like, hey, we can get paid doing that. It wasn't much money. I mean, they took a while to get the $100. I mean, that's what it was.
Yeah.
It took a little while to get that $100. But I'm like, okay. And so we just started going from there, you know, posting more. I'm like, hey, we could turn this into a little extra side cash. This is date money.
Everybody
comes out to. And then
The kids enjoyed it at that time because they were younger, and everything. You know, and then they would show off in front of the camera. And now it's like, oh my gosh, Mom, get that out of my face.
Yes.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, that was our very first YouTube channel. But now we do it, you know, just have fun. We don't really do the, challenge this or I dare you this. Well, still life.
We actually did a podcast not too long ago talking about the death of vlogging. Vloggers used to be like, okay, so before I, you know, back up a little bit, but I don't know if you know who the Shea Tarts are, but the Shea Carl and Shea Butler and his family, I sent him a message and asked him some advice, and he's probably what they call the vlog father. He's like one of the older guys that have started a vlog.
Okay.
And he said you should post often, and he started giving me some ideas and things like that. And so he's really pushed me to make and create more content. And then fast forward now, it came down to where most bloggers these days, they don't really just blog their life. They're more into the challenges. So they give into the peer pressure of people. Because I mean, if you look at all the comments,
do the Lego challenge.
Yeah, do this challenge, do this challenge, do this challenge. So it's more of do this versus, hey, let's just vlog our life. That's probably one reason that our channel doesn't explode like most others.
In which we really don't care.
We do decent with what we have already.
It's better than carrying around a camcorder and then having it put to a disc or, you know. Yeah, remember, people would carry around camcorder. Yeah, so now we just use our phone. So, I mean,
now we just... I
had a Walkman, a CD player, my 8-track. No, just kidding. My Atari. You know, how far back do we want to go? I don't know. But
no, I mean, it's fun. I mean, it's one of those things. And you know, I enjoy it because, honestly, later on, and I think about, like, even after we're dead and gone, all these videos will still be out there. And so, like, honestly, our lineage can be able to see, hey, this is what they did.
You're going
to
be doing ancestry work. It's going to pop up YouTube. Great grandma look like.
It's a lot of fun. I mean, I tell everybody they should do it, but not everybody really should do it, I guess. But
yeah,
it really comes down to their view of how it should be done.
Yeah, we're not in it for the views. We're not in it for the... Oh my gosh, I only have, like, what's really cool, and I will say this, is Logan, we recorded him getting his tonsils out. I mean, we weren't physically back there, but it says, you know, our son gets tonsils out at the doctor's, and it has over 400,000 views, but doctors are telling patients who are about, or little kids who are about to get their tonsils out, hey, go watch this video.
This is what's going to happen.
So we actually have like kids who will message us being like, my doctor told me to watch your video because, you know, your son did this with the tonsils and how you took care of him and everything. I was like, oh, wow, no wonder it has like over 400,000 views.
That's so cute.
You know? And that one's great and everything, but, you know, our other ones, whatever, it's for family, it's for fun, it's just us, you know, pretty much having a daily diary, I guess.
Yeah.
I
was just going to ask you, so do you all have like regular like 9-to-5 jobs that you still go to, or is this what you do?
Shannon does. What I do is my living, you know, I guess my paycheck basically consists of, you know, doing this, and then I help other YouTubers and other podcasters. And basically any other creator, I help them figure out how to make money.
Yeah.
You know, my background is sales and marketing. And so
I
left that job. I was forced to leave that kind of job. Actually, when we moved here to Utah.
Because Amazon took over.
Amazon bought the company I went to go work for. And I was actually running their sales and marketing team. And they're like, oh, you guys are awesome, but we don't need you. And so I'm like, okay, what are we going to do? I'm like, okay, well, I'll just start doing more consulting. And so I started consulting more. And I started, I got in with all the YouTubers here. And then I got in with all the podcasters here. And there's a huge, really, there is a huge need and amount of people that really don't know how to make money doing this.
Right.
Thing. And part
they're
of,
always posting questions like,
so I'll
how do you do this?
I worked with some YouTubers called Bortwitch TV. They needed help. And
you've probably heard of them. They have like kid history on YouTube. So yeah.
I helped them with some stuff. I actually even built props and things like that for them just because they needed it. I mean, I help other creators make money is what it comes down to. This is between that and this, and we do pretty decent.
Yeah.
So.
And what do you do, Shannon?
I actually am the manager at Target.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is dangerous because you're like, ooh, the sale's going on, and I have my discount, and I have, my husband's like, do we really need it? I'm like, is it a need or a want? It's really a need, but I want it, so.
So I mean, both. It qualifies for both.
I can, you know, I might need it in the future. Who knows, you know? And then I'm actually also a photographer. I'm not the mom with a camera. I'm a legit photographer, so I've been doing that. Yeah, so.
Oh, no, 18 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
I couldn't stand. So I did it. And then, you know, when we first had our first kid, I couldn't stand the pose like this or look up like this. I was like, oh, I'm so done with the pose pictures and everything. I want something more natural and candid and, mm-hmm. and everything. And I went to school and I did photography and everything. I was like, I can do this, you know, whatever. And I just, you know, learned, however you want to say that. On my kids for a while, and then my friends are like, oh, I love your photos. Well, so I started doing photos for them, and Devin's like, why aren't you charging them? I'm like, they're friends. He's like, I don't care. You're like spending an hour and a half photographing them, and then you're spending like 7 hours total like editing photos. I'm like, yeah, but they're friends. He's like, charge them. I was like, okay. Well,
when we lived in Tennessee, this was the breaking point. You know, she was doing it all we've lived all over the South. Born and raised in Georgia. She's a Florida girl, but we lived all over the South. But when we lived in Tennessee, and she was doing it, she wasn't charging really nearly enough anyway, but she wanted, mm-hmm. she did it, but she loved it. And so I sat down, I said, listen, this is a good living for you and you should turn it into a living. And then she ended up building a clientele of probably 2,000 to 3,000 people.
That's awesome.
And now every time I go back South, they're like, oh my gosh, can we book a session with you? Can you take like an hour out of your time?
We'll book a week out just to stay in Tennessee to take photos of all these different people. Yeah. And so
I get nice. It.
Yeah.
It is nice to be in demand.
Yes. Oh, you're coming back South? Yes. Thank you. Okay.
Hold on. I was coming for vacation. Let me take an extra week now to do this for you.
This can pay for my vacation. Well, exactly. Yeah.
We book vacation, then we're like, we'll book a week, and that's that pays for the vacation and then some.
So and then I'm like, I'll send your flash drive to you or Dropbox them to you. You're good.
Oh my gosh. So tell me about your kids. You said, you know, the older ones are not really into the videos and stuff anymore. Like they don't, you know, they want to do it, but not really. And it's, I'm sure just their age. Yeah. So how do you make it all work with everything that you need to get, you know, into production with kids on the scene?
Well, I mean, with Paris, she's, you know, half the time she's like, okay, you know, I'll be in your videos, whatever. She
loved me, and then she got out of it. I mean,
she's kind of getting back into it, where she thinks it's fun because, you know, she's coming into her senior year, and now she's like, okay, I like talking about this. I just got accepted to physical therapy school. I just got, you know, I'm going to do this, and just talking about her upcoming senior year. But our 16-year-old, our son,
it's embarrassing for him.
It's embarrassing for him. So normally his videos consist of rugby, like, okay, so we're filming rugby playing Jacob, you know, I mean, rugby playing Jacob, yeah. Jacob playing rugby. And, you know, so that consists, but Logan, he's kind of sometimes like, oh my, you know, and I don't know, but Ethan, he loves being in the camera. He will say anything and everything unfiltered. Elizabeth, forget it.
I don't edit any of that out. That's
yeah.
And he's the little one, right?
Yeah, yes.
He's always begging us, can I start a YouTube channel? I'm like, not quite yet.
He really wants to do a gaming one, yeah.
But he wants to do gaming, but then he wants to do challenges.
And yeah.
Like, and I said, let's let you get a little bit older and let's figure this out. I said, I don't mind you doing it, but you got to figure out
what
you're going to turn your channel into.
Right, where it's going, what's going to happen.
Make it a successful channel.
Uh huh.
It could be like Ethan Bipolar, I don't know.
No.
But Elizabeth, our 14-year-old, forget it. Just finding a way to get her on camera is kind of difficult unless she's bribed. I was surprised the other day Devin went live on Facebook on the Facebook page, and she was actually like involving herself with it. I was kind of shocked. I was like, oh my goodness, you know, Elizabeth is actually live on Facebook. I'm at work and I can't even be in this video with her. But, you know, every now and then I'd see her like pop into the camera and then she's like, okay, you know, pop out of the camera.
I think she's self-conscious too. Because I mean, she has braces, but she likes them, but she doesn't like braces. That makes sense. And so she,
yeah.
If she has her hair done and her makeup on and, you know, everything, she's like, oh, hey, I could be in front of the camera now. I'm good. She's here at home right now. She's going to school late, but because her jeans weren't dry, but whatever. So
serious world problems.
Yes, you know, just a 14-year-old first world problems, I guess. But she's probably listening, rolling her eyes upstairs or something. I don't know. I'm surprised she hasn't yelled down, be like, would you just be quiet?
Stop talking about me.
I think it's funny, this age, my daughter is 12, and she's one of these kids who despises jeans. Like, her entire life, she has never, ever wanted to wear jeans. She's always worn leggings. And it's just one of these things that makes me insane. Like, why will you not wear jeans? Like, they're like a staple. Like, I don't understand. She's like, I don't like them. They're weird. Like, whatever. And I'm like, everybody in the world wears jeans. I don't understand. And so literally this past weekend, she was like, okay, I'm ready to go to the store to get some jeans. I'm like, oh, are you? Let me just pull out my wallet.
Right.
Then she like wears them, you know, like 2 days in a row. And I'm like, you got to wash those now. I'm like, I know they're new and you like them, but they're just so weird at this age.
That's so funny because Elizabeth, she loves jeans, but she, you know, she loves leggings, and she has what we call her basic white girl outfit, where she will wear her her tights, her black tights with her Uggs and a hoodie, and she'll put her hair up in a bun. And so, our daughter, our 17-year-old had a pair of jeans that she had never worn. And she's like, Mom, they don't fit right. You know, I said, well, go ahead and give them to Elizabeth. And Elizabeth's like, Mom, I am not wearing those. Absolutely not. I'm like, what's wrong with them? They're never worn. They're from Hollister. You know, go try them on. She's like, oh, no. I was like, why? She's like, because they're low rise. I was like, what? I said, but all your shirts are like hoodies during the wintertime and they're longer and nobody's going to see, you know, whatever. I guess, should they call them? I mean, I don't let my daughter wear a thong, but whale tail or whatever. I don't know. She doesn't have that. So, you know, I'm like, nobody's going to see that. So, right. And she's like, I'm not wearing them. I'm like, just try them on. So she tries them on. She's like, they're so uncomfortable.
The drama.
Right.
I hate them. And so I started to call it this way. I'm like, okay, I see you got your praying jeans on. You know, they got all the holes in the knees and things like that.
They've been crushed too many times. They're like, a little bit holy.
I'm glad that you guys are on your knees praying, because but it's time to throw away the jeans. Let's get you some.
And my son did the other day. I was so proud of him. He came up to me, which I couldn't believe he got a pair. Anyway, he came up to me the other day. He's like, Mom, I got a surprise for you. I was like, oh, you're going to give me a hug. You know, I don't know. And, he holds up his holy jeans and he's like, I think they've had enough Jesus in their life for now. I was like, oh gosh. I was like, thanks for throwing them away.
That's awesome. Score. Yeah. Points for Mom.
Right. So happy to get rid of those things. Well, I couldn't stand it.
I grew up in a family-owned business, and we'd wear jeans to work and things like that.
And they'd get holes in because of construction.
All dirty because we were remodeling houses. You snag
them. Right. You're actually working.
Right.
They all look at these jeans like, what have these kids done? They've done nothing. I'm like, this is an insult. They've never done work.
Oh no, the time that are
holy for no reason.
Yes.
And I didn't want to wear the holy jeans. I just did because I was gonna work in them.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to jump right back in here. I have to ask you, because I feel like that this is a normal question that I hear from lots of parents. You guys showcase your whole family on the internet loud and proud. Yep. So how do you deal with questions like safety for your kids, you know, putting your kids out there? Everybody knows what they look like, where they go to school, who they are, et cetera.
That's super simple. Go ahead.
Yeah. So weird thing happened at work like a month and a half ago. I felt violated, which was weird because I know, you know, we have a YouTube channel, so whatever. But at first I felt extremely violated. This lady came up to me. She's like, oh my gosh, I know you. Where do I know you from? I was like, I don't know. I was like, I work here. I was like, maybe you've seen me. You know, I used to manage this place. And she's like, no. She's like waiting. And her sister walks over. She's like, oh my gosh, that's the mom from the Youngblood Life. I was like,
nice.
Oh, weird. So weird. Boy. And at that time, Devin and Paris were walking in,
and they got all excited.
And they're like, oh my gosh, it's Devin and Paris. I was like, you even know my kid's name? I was like, ooh, I was like, okay, so we really have to have a talk with our kids, because Utah is super big on YouTube. It's a massive YouTube community, and can walk down. Yeah. Like the other day I was at work and all of a sudden I hear one of my coworkers go, "Oh my gosh, it's James." And I look outside and there's this guy who has a very big YouTube channel. He has two Ferraris. Anyway, I come home. I was like, "Hey, Jacob, guess what I saw?" Because he likes Ferraris. I was like, "I saw this, you know, purple and orange Ferrari at work today." He's like, "Was it James from YouTube?" Nice. I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "Why didn't you call me?" I was like, "Oh my gosh, you know." But our kids, it's hard.
Here's the thing, and I showed this to our, you know, we have one child that has Snapchat, and she's good with it. But the other kids, I hate Snapchat. Because just for the whole secretiveness of the whole thing. But when it comes to anything, you know, I had to show Paris. Here's the deal. I said, "What do you think no one can see?"
Everyone can.
And she's like, "No, they can't." I said, and so I went online. I went to her Snapchat data and I pulled up every post that she has ever sent to anyone. And she's like, "You're not supposed to be able to see that." I said, "It's all out there." I said, "Bottom line, if you post it, it's going to be out there."
I mean, it wasn't bad, but
I mean, she's a really good girl.
Yeah.
But she doesn't do any of the bad things that all parents are terrified of your kids doing. But I mean, the reality is, no matter what, your kids out there are going to be recorded.
Yep.
Whether it's on your stuff, whether it's on someone else's stuff, it's going to get out there. The only thing that you have to teach, I think, is never show where you live. Never talk about where you live.
And I'm bad at that. Yesterday we were recording and he's like, "Oh, stop right there." He's like, "You can't say where we live." Yeah, he goes, "You just,"
we live in Salt Lake.
But it was me telling, "I'm going to go pick my kid up from this school." I was like, I can't do that.
It's personal information like that. I mean, you go to places, I mean, Lyft drivers and Uber drivers, a lot of those guys actually have cameras in there and they're recording your rides and posting it on the internet too.
Yeah. It's scary.
As far as privacy, the privacy is getting very minimal, but the key thing is keep personal information safe. I mean, you're with the Facebook and their, not just them, but I mean, but all your different social medias, they all have, the facial recognition software. Mm-hmm. And so they're getting more, they know more about us than most people know.
Yeah.
What it comes down to is what information we're allowed to leak out, and what we allow, and other people to know.
Right.
Usually, if we post a video about a birthday, it's usually a week or two or 3 weeks or even sometimes a month off from when their actual birthday is.
Right.
Because people are like, "Oh, that's their birthday." So we don't talk specifics of stuff like that.
There's only really one person. So we have two people on YouTube who there's one family who follows us all the time, but a little over a year ago, he like kind of stole my heart. He's a little boy from Australia. You know, he said he watches our YouTube channel while he's in the hospital getting chemo.
He's actually
back doing chemo. So we've actually made a connection. Devin's actually talked to his dad on the phone from Australia, finding out that his dad's his heart surgeon and his doctor. He's a surgeon, but not his. Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's right. And so they know a lot about us because we know a lot about them. But there's this other person.
You connected with
him. Yeah. But there's this another person on there who's like, "Oh, tell me about Logan. What's his name? What's his birthday?" But the picture shows a little kid, but I'm completely in the mindset that it's like this 60-year-old dirty man,
Right.
And I won't take anything. I'm like, absolutely not. Block this person,
YouTube has gone and they've just recently changed everything as far as keeping
safety.
All the safety and all the pedophiles.
You can't do kids in swimsuits. You can't do kids at a gymnastics meet. You can't, because you're not only showing your kid in gymnastics meet, you're showing other kids.
All the other kids there.
Right, or at a swimming pool.
You can still blur them out, but the point is that they're trying to put a, because they're, child pornography and child safety is so rampant out there, it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And, parents still have to limit what their kids do. I know there's a big push, I mean, especially out here, I'm sure it's everywhere else, but big push for parents that saying, our kids should never be on social media. Well, that's crap. really.
Right, that's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. Now, what they can do, they can limit what they allow them to have. I mean, Snapchat is, I totally disagree with Snapchat because, you know, most parents don't know how to get that data off the internet and say, look, I can see everything you're posting.
Exactly. And you know how to do that. You found it. You showed it to your daughter. Yeah. You showed her specifically that it was out there and it's possible to get. But most people don't know that they can get it.
Right.
So the kids think that they're safe.
There's other people that know how to do it. And that's the thing. I'm
there's a, you know, the dark web, you know, everything is out there. You have to be that strange person that can get on what they call the dark web and pull it up.
And so I think the key thing is just, you know, teaching our kids to use it correctly. I do believe in limits though. I mean, like even our kids, they're not on their phones late at night.
No.
And then I will grab their phones at least, you know, once a month and I'll go through and read every text message.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes time.
And it won't even like, they'll have no clue. All of a sudden we can be sitting at dinner and all of a sudden Devin's like, oh, hand me your phone. They're like, why? Just hand me your phone. And some of them are like, oh crap. Another one's like, oh, I don't care. Here you go. You know.
Well, it's scary. We live in a scary world when it comes to social media and the things that people can say and can do. I mean, bullying is is bad. I mean, even I know out here, there's actually going to be a podcast here next a few days where we'll talk about the depression and suicide rate among kids because it's seriously high.
Yeah.
And my personal opinion is it's, you know, kids can get down, but I think it's also lack of involvement from parents.
Yeah, it really is. Like last year, my daughter and my son's high school alone had a total of 11 deaths, 8 which were suicides.
That is the saddest thing I've ever heard.
It's way too many. Yeah, and that's
11 deaths too many. I think that's part of the problem. And I don't want to blame it on generations. I mean, shoot, my parents, I talk to my parents about anything, but I have friends that they never talk to their parents.
I was blown away yesterday. I'm in the car and all of a sudden my daughter is calling my husband and not me. I'm hearing, he goes, well, just ask him out. It's that easy. I'm like, I'm like, why is she asking you and not me? What the heck? And she's like, I really just want to ask this guy out, but I don't know how. And I'm like listening to the conversation because it's so loud. He's like, just do it. She's like, but I'm so nervous. I'm like, well, hi, I'm mom. How are you?
That's the stuff that the parents are, my generation, which works without all age myself, I'm 41 years old, but my generation and my parents, I would always tell my friends and people around me that I was raised by a different generation because my dad's what, 70, he'll be 79 this year.
Yeah, yeah. My dad's in this, oh my gosh, yeah. My dad's 70.
But,
what?
You know, when I was growing up, I had the older parents. And then a lot of my friends, they were within 10 to 15 years of their parents, that type of thing, you know. And so I think just lack of involvement with parents on their kids, and that's what causes, you know, the depression and the suicides, and then, you know, the social media and putting the wrong stuff out there. I mean,
and parents don't check. I mean, they're at a point where, oh, my kid's not going to do that, but you know, they're like, and then they find out, oh my gosh, my kid is sending, you know, nude pictures. I didn't know my kid was doing this. I didn't know my kid was involved in this. And all of a sudden the kid's like, oh my gosh, my mom found out, and he gets in trouble because first his parents were never talking to him about it. And then all of a sudden, you know, you find out a week later that the kids, you know, had died because of something stupid that he did, because of embarrassment, but his parents never talked to him. It's just involvement. Parents need to be involved.
And then the other side is parents have to be parents and not friends.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm friends with my kids, but I'm a parent first.
Yeah.
And, you know, my kids know they can talk to me about anything, doesn't matter what it is, even if it's how do I ask a guy out on a date.
That's so cute.
My advice on that, I told her, I said, listen, guys are clueless. They have, you know, especially your age, they don't know. They're just as scared to ask a girl than you are to ask them.
Yeah.
As to honestly, be straightforward, say, hey, let's go get some ice cream, or let's go to a movie, or let's do, I said, just say, this is what I want to do on this day. I said, and if you're very specific, then it forces them to say, well, no, I don't want to go out with you. I said, they say no, that's their loss. I said, figure out this. They have to make a decision, say, oh, that'd be awesome. Let's go do it. Because they're scared. Well, like, I know how I was. I was that awkward, weird teenage boy.
Well, last night, my daughter went up to the high school because there was a talent show. And her crush was in the talent show singing and playing his guitar. He is this cute, blonde-haired, tan, blue-eyed South African boy that she, like, is gaga over. And she's like, can you come pick me up later? I want to watch him perform. And we're like, yeah, that's fine. Well, as we're pulling up, she gets in the car and she's like, oh, Liam just asked, oh, I shouldn't say his name. He just asked me to go get ice cream with him. We're like, well, why didn't you go? She goes, because I saw the car. We're like, so you could have like called him and like, hey, go ahead and leave. I'm going to go get ice cream with him. I'm like, you should have told him. She's like, it's okay.
She's like, well, you go home. We were just at the store.
It was like
only like 2 miles away from here.
We don't care. And she's like, it's okay. I was like, Paris, you should have just gone and said, screw you, Mom. I'm going on a deal.
Sometimes those allowances are okay.
Right.
Right. Well, I mean, it's the open communication with your kids. Talk about the bad things that are out there. I mean, I've got two brothers in the FBI. And there was an instance when we first moved here, our daughter was getting, she had some apps on her phone that I didn't approve of, and I didn't know they were on there. But then also she was getting these
threatening.
No, not just threatening, but
bad
pictures of men parts.
Yikes.
Yeah, right. And so I called my brother. He says, send me the phone. I'll find out the thing. He goes, or you can do this. And so I went online and I tracked the IP address to where they were sent from.
Which came from a so-called friend.
Correct. And so.
So these are all fake pictures that they're pulling off the internet.
They're real pictures.
Well, they're real, but they're not from a real person threatening. They were from who she called her friends, you know.
Right. I knew the parents and I knocked on the door and talked to them. And of course they were straight denial.
We don't allow our daughter to have a phone.
Yeah, but come to find out, their daughter had a phone that was given to her from a boy at school. And I told him, here's the deal. I said, I know for a fact that the IP address for this mobile device came from
your home.
Well, how do you know this? I said, this is your Wi-Fi address. And I went down the numbers and I said, this is you. He goes, yeah, he goes, well, my daughter wouldn't do it. I said, okay, I'm going to say this.
Then you are.
Your daughter's not doing this. I said, you're the only male in the house. So then I'm going to turn this over to the FBI, and they're going to come into the house. They're going to raid the house. They're going to take every computer, and they're going to take pictures of you naked to compare. I said, and he's like, he's getting all offensive. he's getting all offensive. I said, the bottom line is, I said, there is a problem. I said, I'm solving it on my side. I'm expecting you to be a parent and solve it on your side.
Right.
I said, honestly, this is safety between not just my child, but also you're involving now your children, and it's got to be done. But I mean,
they were so embarrassed when they found out it was their daughter. They moved.
Yeah, they moved.
Wow.
But the problem is, it's just lack of involvement from parents. And they don't know what their kids are doing. And, you know, I'm sure they get away with stuff that I don't know about, but there's a lot of things they think I don't know. But I do know.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think that we are, as far as internet safety and stuff, we're in that same boat. And I feel like that we got bit a little bit. And it was one of those, you're like, well, we thought we were doing the right things, but oh, shoot, we weren't.
Right.
And thank good. I mean, I want to say it wasn't pleasant. It wasn't good, but it was something that was like, okay, this is our wake up call. And so we kind of have the same philosophy. So we have a 12-year-old daughter and an 8-year-old son. And my daughter is like one of the last kids in her class. She doesn't have a phone. She has an iPod. And people who don't know, an iPod, you can have internet access, but only with Wi-Fi. And you can text message people who also have Apple products. But you can't text message people that do not have Apple products. So there is some kind of limits.
Unless they have a different app that allows them to do that.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. She does. she communicates with a few of her friends, like through Pinterest. You know, you can message through Pinterest. She does that. And we're aware of all that stuff. And we do the same thing. I'm like, hey, give me your phone. Let me see what's going on. And we've even told her, I'm not really sure, honestly, if she has figured out the truth, but we told her that we could literally call our phone company and tell them that we want a report of every single thing done on this phone and we could get it. And she was like, you can? I'm like, yes, I can see absolutely everything you've ever done. And so whether she knows that to be true or not.
You can't really do it from there, but you can pull it up. You can get that information easily.
Yeah, I'm sure that you can. I'm just not savvy enough to do it.
But it can be done. I mean, you can pull up every single IP address, every single thing that she's ever done on that phone, for unless it's been wiped clean, when she knows how to do that.
But yes.
You can pull that information. But even then, some of that metadata is still out there on the internet. So if you find out what app she uses, you can actually go to those apps and find that metadata and download it then. I mean, so the reality is, you can still get that information.
Yeah, our 12-year-old iPod also, no phone.
Yeah.
So
the bottom line is that, you know, you're right. You absolutely can get the information out there. But for us, it was more just like a scare tactic of, hey, like, you better behave yourself with this or it will be taken away.
Yeah.
Because, and we don't do she doesn't do Facebook. She doesn't do Instagram. Yeah. She doesn't do Snapchat. We don't do any of that. And even recently she's wanting Facebook Messenger, which I still have not decided on whether I'm going to allow or not. And I told her, I said, this is not.
Services off for the most part. It's decent.
They have Facebook Messenger for kids. It's strictly for kids to communicate with their parents and friends, and you control it.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll have to look into that. Thanks for that. I just told her, I said, the internet is a scary, not nice place. I said, it can be awesome. I said, there's so many great things that you can do and learn from the internet. I said, we live in an amazing age of information and knowledge. I said, but not all information and knowledge is good. And I said, and how do you feel? I said, how do you feel? Because she likes to draw and color and stuff. I said, how are you going to feel if you post some of your art on YouTube and somebody decides, hey, I don't really like that. I think it's ugly. And I'm like, how do you think that's going to make you feel?
Yeah.
I said, it doesn't matter if you've got 15 people who tell you it's the most beautiful thing they've ever seen. That one person that tells you it's ugly and you didn't do a good job, that's going to stick with you. I said, so we're just not doing that. I said, you're a child. I said, it's my job to protect you. I said, and you don't need it. You've got friends. You've got people that love you. And like, you don't need the outer adorations from people that you don't know. So we're just not doing it.
Yeah.
Well, no, and I think that's a good approach to it. Because, I mean, there's so much out there. It comes down to, and if they do have it, I mean, I tell every parent, you have to monitor it. I mean, it doesn't matter if you say, oh, I trust them. Yeah, you can trust your kids, but they're still going to do some stupid crap. I mean, I think about the stuff I did. I mean, I told my kids, they finally found it.
So he ran from the cops.
I ran from the police when I was a 16-year-old. I was speeding. I didn't want to get taken because mom and dad would kill me. So I left the cops and I went to a car lot and dropped my seat there, and I hid there for like 45 minutes while cop cars were looking for me. That's really bad. Don't ever do that.
Ever.
Ever. And so, but they're like, I told them, the thing is now, because there's so many cameras, I said, there's no way you could ever get away.
Oh, no.
No. Everywhere you go, there's a camera. I mean, it's on everybody's phone. It's on
doors, houses.
There's doorbells. It's on houses. It's on, literally everywhere there's a camera. So
I think we can walk through our community and everybody will know what I was wearing yesterday. I mean, like, have you seen my mom? Oh, yeah, she walked past my house wearing a green beret the other, you know, whatever. Because, you know, it just everybody has some type of device on their house that, you know, it's just out to the world to see.
So, I was going to say from earlier where we got bit on the internet was, like I said, we thought that we were being like really diligent with the kids. And we are for the most part. You know, I do check her phone and stuff. Well, my son, he's 8. He doesn't have an iPod. He doesn't have a phone. He has like a game system and we do not allow him to talk to anybody on it. I'm like, you can play. You're not allowed to talk. I'm like, nobody talks to you. You don't talk to anybody else. If you want to play, that's fine. But that's it. But he has like a tablet. And the tablet, we thought that he was safe with kids YouTube. He was not safe with kids YouTube. I was so, Like, and you know what the sad part was, is that because he has got such a tender heart, we would have never known that he had seen some of the stuff that he had seen if he had not have told on himself. He Aww. Felt so guilty for seeing the things that he saw. He told us, and I was completely mortified. I'm like, my poor 8-year-old baby, my love, you know, has seen awful things on the internet. And I was mortified. Like, I didn't even want to tell people because it was like I was so embarrassed. Like, I had failed. And my husband went back through to, like, look up and see, like, what he had seen, because we were trying to figure out, like, how bad it was. And, of course, by then it had already been removed, so we couldn't even see what he saw. But it didn't matter. Like, the damage was already done. He'd already been able to access it in a place that we thought was safe.
Right. So
after that, we went down, like, this whole, like, lockdown situation.
Well, any channel that our kids watch, and I have to do it by the channel. I mean, I, and it's sad. I'll sit and watch some of these channels, and I'll watch, you know, a good portion of of their content just to see what they're posting and what they're talking about. Because, I mean, YouTube, people think YouTube has gone to major, you know, things to kind of make YouTube better, but you still got the idiots out there that are still posting, and their algorithm doesn't always work like it's supposed to either. And so that's, you know, that again, right. again. It's so hard. You have to be, you know, extremely proactive.
Yeah.
You know, my kids have like maybe a handful of channels I let them watch. And I said,
One of them was a gaming channel that I was letting our 8-year-old watch. And, you know, cause he likes playing, I guess, Roblox or whatever. And so he's like, I said, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm watching this gaming channel. I want to learn how to do this on Roblox. I was like, okay. Well, I'm in the kitchen doing something. All of a sudden, I hear the F word drop on this gaming video.
Right.
And I was like, and no more. I was like, sorry, bud. I said, you can't watch anymore. He's like, but he was just getting to the good part. I'm sorry he said a bad word. I was like, I don't care.
Sorry.
I was like, you're done.
We actually had a game that the kids played. It was just one of those free applications because we don't pay money for games on apps. I'm like, you know, free, you can, if it's free, you can play it, you know, as long as it's age appropriate, whatever. So it was this, it's like a leprechaun game. It's basically a play off of Mario, but it's a leprechaun after gold instead of Mario.
Okay.
And so you play this, well, because it's a free app, there's ads in between your games.
Right.
Well, I'm watching him play this game. This ad comes on literally for the show, The Bates Motel. Like there's a dead bird. There's blood dripping off the table. He's holding a knife, like all this stuff. And at the time, my son is like 5 or 6. I mean, not that 8 is much better, but still like he's a little kid. And I'm like, why in the world is this commercial on this kid game? I'm like, we're done. No more of this game. And they're like, well, can't we just buy it? And I'm like, no, not doing it.
Yeah.
Well, that's how they pay for, you know, that's, you know, kind of a little hilarious. Well, I watched the Mark Zuckerberg in front of Congress, you know, talking about, you know, Facebook and security and things like that. And I've never seen a room full of most ill-informed people in my life.
Wow.
It's almost like these people had no clue how the internet works. And I hate to say I'm going to take Mark Zuckerberg's side of the whole thing, but you know, they were asking questions. Well, you do this, but you do this. How do you have a sustainable, the biggest question was, how do you sustain a business when you have the platform free? And
ads.
You're like, we run ads.
Yeah.
But that's it. I mean, if something's free, there's some other means to pay for it.
Right.
It's simple as that. I mean, you know, we use for TV, we don't have like cable or anything like that.
We have Hulu and Amazon and Netflix.
We don't pay a dime for Hulu. It's free. But why is it free? Because we have ads. And so, and those, you know, and in reality, those platforms make more money off the ads so it's easier to just give the content away for free because that's how that works.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, that, you know, our YouTube channel or our stuff on Facebook or even stuff on Instagram, we make money off of it because of the ads. Now,
of course.
I do go in, like on our YouTube channel, I have gone in and I've been, most people don't know you can do this. You can actually go into your AdSense and you can say, I approve this style ad. I approve of this style ad. So it changes the dynamics of how I get paid. But it also forces the good content type ads like Coca-Cola. I don't mind Coke being on mine, but I don't want to advertise, which I don't think there's, you know, I don't want to advertise any beer or cigarettes or anything like that. 'Cause our channels is a family channel, and I don't want to be pushing that type of advertisement on our content. I'm sure
exactly.
I'm paid for it, but because I eliminate those out of our advertisement.
My daughter's standing off to the side.
Because I eliminate that out of our type of ads we approve of, it forces better and actually higher paying ads to us. So, but yeah, no, I mean, anything, it's, you know, YouTube, it's an ad. I mean, everything pays for it because of the ads. I mean, it's a multi-billion dollar industry.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And I just think that's so cool. Like how you guys have got it all set up. You've got, you know, your family involved, you make money from it. Like you're doing a great job at adventuring the life that you've got. So before we wrap up, will you just tell everybody like where they can find you, what everything looks like, where it's at?
So everything for us, I mean, you can find us anything. It's all under the same name. We made it easy that way.
The Youngblood Life.
Yeah, the Youngblood Life.
Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube, podcast, Facebook.
Our podcast is, we're not on iHeartRadio, but we're pretty much everywhere else. And I worked for iHeartRadio the other day, so we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Very good. Well, I'm so glad that you guys came on with me today. Thank you so much for all of your info. I'm really excited about sharing with all my girls, like your YouTube channel and your family and how you deal with safety for your family and everything that you do. So thank you so much, guys. I appreciate it.
You are welcome.
And that is it for this week's episode of Adventuring the Girl Life. But before we go, girls, you know we have to do our crowns and our flops. So this is kind of a silly flop because I couldn't really control it, but I got sick again. This is like the third or fourth time that I have been sick this season, and it's just because it's been so cloudy and so rainy here. You know, we just can't get a break in the weather. And so I ended up sick again. And so we have a service through our insurance. It's called a teledoc. And so it's a service where you can make a phone call, call a doctor, tell them what's going on, and they can write you a prescription if they deem necessary. And so I called instead of going to the doctor, and they told me that it sounded like I had a throat infection. And I'm like, you know, are you sure it's not strep? And she says, yeah, I think, you know, you don't have any body aches, you don't have a fever, I think you have a throat infection, so I'll give you these meds. Well, I didn't know that the meds weren't an antibiotic. It was just a steroid. So I'm on the fourth day of this 5-day medication, and I'm like, you know, I feel better, but I'm just still not better. And I've only got 1 day left, so I don't want to run out and then like relapse, because this was literally the most horrible thing I've been through in years. I am not kidding. When I say my throat was so swollen, when I would lean my head back, it would literally cut off my air supply. It was so swollen. And so I call them back a second time to tell them like what was going on. And they're like, oh yeah, you probably do have strep, so we'll go ahead and give you an antibiotic now for 10 more days. I'm like, are you flipping kidding me? I have been on an anti-inflammatory steroid for 5 days, and I should have been on the antibiotic to begin with. So now I'm going to be like 15 days into medication, and you girls know good and well, I don't like to take medication. This was one of those instances where I really did need to take it, but I should have been on the antibiotic to begin with. I was so irritated. And at the time of this recording, I am still on these antibiotics. And in all honesty, I could probably stop taking them, but Lord knows I don't. Lord knows I don't want to relapse, so I'm going to stick with it like they told me, and I guess I'll finally finish it on the recommended day. Okay, moving on to the crowning moment of the week, which in this instance is absolutely going to be retail therapy. Now, girls, I want us all to be wholesome, deep people, but sometimes a girl just needs to go shopping.
So this weekend, my hubby had been out of town all week long. He came back earlier than expected and surprised us. The weather was fantastic. It was one of the first, you know, warm, sunny days that we have had this whole season thus far. And we just decided to spend the day as a family at the mall. And this girl had some retail therapy. I bought, first of all, everything on sale because that's how I roll. And I got three new pairs of leggings and two new shirts. And I got me this gorgeous hot pink new water bottle. And we had so much fun. And I did not feel guilty for spending that money in the slightest. So, crowning moment, retail therapy. Sometimes you just need to go shopping. Okay, girls, that is it for this week's episode of Adventuring the Girl Life. You know the drill. Leave me a review so that we can help more girls grow. And don't forget to subscribe to the show so that you can be the first one to know exactly what's going on every week when everything comes out. And until next week, girls, adventure on!